If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome, everyone, to the very first completely unnecessary podcast with my co-host, Ian Ferguson.
Howdy.
I'm Pat Contry. You know, me and Ian talk a lot on the phone. We talk about old discussions about, you know, video game stuff, movie topics. So we thought, why not do a podcast since we're almost friends and we get along well, right? So why not? I got the technology. I got a nice mixing board in front of me. We have microphones, so why not do this?
We get along well because we're almost friends.
Is that what it is? So yeah. We don't have to be that close. We don't hear about all the gory stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, you know, oh, my mom got cancer. Yeah, I don't care. We don't get that close. It's more about, oh, I had a nice taco today.
Right.
Yeah. So, how's your week been? What have you been up to?
Work's been busy. GameCube seems incredibly popular again.
Haven't really
quite figured out why, but we probably sold through a stock of 8 or 10 just this weekend alone. Yeah.
It's something that surprises you, because again, you figure the GameCube is like a system that not many people care about because they play it on the Wii, but it's now 3 generations old, technically, right? So
I enjoyed it, but we used to have 13, 15 of them at each store, and now I'm down to 0 at each store in the matter of about 2 weeks.
Oh.
Lady called me up today and said, do you have Smash Brothers and Mario Kart for the GameCube? And my immediate response was no, and she got offended. She said, you didn't even look. And I said, no, I didn't, because you're the 5th person to call me today looking for those titles. And she was confused, but yeah, now it's popular again. I mean, Smash Brothers always, but
sure.
I mean, that's considered...
Well, that's the tournament. That's the Smash tournament game.
Yeah, that's the tournament version, but...
I don't want to have any weapons in my game.
No fun allowed.
No fun allowed in my Smash Brothers.
But we're making friends already. Anyways, it's just strange to see the ebb and flow of that. Other than that, I've been playing a lot of Nintendo baseball games.
Oh.
That's been... interesting.
Go into why you're doing that.
No, I wouldn't.
So, where's my water? There it is.
Not a lot of them. A lot of them aren't so hot.
Good, water right in my face. So coming up on the show today, we'll be talking about controversy in the movies, in the superhero movie realm. We have Ben Affleck cast as Batman in the upcoming Batman vs. Superman, the sequel to Man of Steel. We'll be discussing that hot topic as well as. Today, Nintendo had a big announcement with new hardware coming out. We're going to talk about that. But we have some announcements first to get to. In terms of my stuff, I got a new Flea Market Madness coming out. Wow. Just went up on RetroWare. It's going to be up on the Punk Effect within the next day or two. Check out that one. It's going to be fun. I got new articles on the website. There's a new Theater One to the Right, which is the movie article review on the site. And then Gaming in the Real World, which is sort of like a comedic sort of look at, like, how, you know, relationship issues, men versus women related to gaming is cool. I'm actually looking for new article writers. Ian, you can apply. And video producers on the Punk Effect. So if you have any samples, it's something you've done before, not necessarily, you know, like, oh, I want to get into it. You have some experience. Maybe you're a student in journalism, or it's a hobby, but something you've done. Email me. At the email address staff@thepunkeffect.com. I'll be putting out a formal word on my site within the next week or so about what I'm actually looking for, simply what type of writers and what topics. Besides that, we have another announcement to make. We are going to do the... is it really 4 already?
Yeah.
The 4th annual NES Charity Marathon, at least 24 hours, will be coming back, ladies and gentlemen. It will be coming back the weekend of October 18th and 19th.
The excitement is building up in my loins.
This will be the 4th one. Last year we raised about, what, 16,000, 17,000. And then we did about the same the year before for the second one. And the first year we did about 8 or 9, yep. I believe. So that's what I do my math. It's like $45,000 for a Child's Play charity. And we'll see what we're going to do this year. It's going to be fun. Again, more details to follow. If you go on thepunkeffect.com right now, I think I have the first 4 hours you can view of last year's marathon for free. And then the other parts, it's like 99 cents a part. But before you complain, oh, why are you taking money for a charity? Well, no, it's not me taking money. You see, first of all, people always ask me, Pat, why don't you put them on DVD, the marathon? Because four people would buy them. So it's for the people that want to see it. But also, there's expenditures, believe it or not, that go into running the marathon. It's a lot of time. This guy's got to take time off his work. So it's a little bit, and plus we buy new equipment. I got a new mixer here, partially because of the marathon. A lot of you can't see it.
It's very fancy, I assure you.
It's a fancy USB mixer. It is. I'm going to get a new webcam because this one's not that good. So yeah, there's stuff that goes into it. You know, it's not like I'm going to be making tons of money off of showing the old marathon parts. But they're up there if you want to watch them. So that's going to come up. That's going to be fun. If you want to be a sponsor of the 4th Annual NES Marathon, again, there'll be more details about what goes into that. It's not like $20 makes you a sponsor. It's at least, what, $100, $200 it's been in the past, up to like $500 or $1,000.
I think it's been $150 the past 2 years minimum.
So we're going to decide that, but if you want to get in on it right now, email nesmarathon@thepunkeffect.com. That's the official NES Marathon email address to get into that. The other big news is that I have... Well, two things. I have a pilot version of my own Let's Play series. It's not really a Let's Play, because I already played the game. So we're not playing it. We're watching me having recorded playing it already.
So a nightmare.
Yes, a nightmare. What I'm going to do a little more spin on it, because I'm actually good at the video games I play, usually. And so it's going to be me talking about more of the strategy of the game, plus stories from my childhood with the game. I think it's going to be fun. Not sure when that's coming out, but it's going to be in the near future. Before that, though, what?
That's storybook Let's Plays.
Yes, more or less. More importantly, what's going to be coming out is part two of my 5th anniversary video, Cliffhanger. That's what I'm going to be working on next. And that's going to come out within probably a week and a half. Cross your fingers there. But let's get into the topics. So it was announced, was it a week ago? Not even a week ago, that... Zack Snyder, the director of...
What an asshole.
Okay, you want to lead with that? Go. You
want to lead with that? Guy's a piece of shit, and he's a shitty director. He's awful. So, wow. I mean, I'll take the lead here. We'll start with this. So, it was announced about a week ago that Ben Affleck was going to play Batman. Now, the internet went crazy over it.
Sure.
Probably in a way that they shouldn't have over such a, in the grand scheme of things, pointless announcement. That Man of Steel is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Ever.
Ever.
In the pantheon.
Yes.
Motion Pictures is over 100 years old, going back to Edison and before that.
One of the worst.
One of the worst. Top 10 worst.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, why?
Now, we're staying on topic. One of the worst, okay?
Okay.
Completely ruined Superman. Got it all fucking wrong. So, it's a sequel to a movie I don't care about. I couldn't care who's playing Batman. But... there's nowhere else to go but up, okay?
Okay.
And no one's seen Affleck play Batman.
I have in my dreams.
Well, you have weird dreams. But no one thought Keaton was going to make a good Batman.
No one thought that.
No one thought Ledger was going to make a good Joker.
No one.
And no one thinks Affleck is going to make a good Batman. I don't know that he will, but I will give him the benefit of the doubt. And... of course he's going to take that role. Who doesn't want to play Batman? Like, I almost kind of feel bad for the guy.
Because his friend, Kevin Smith, is like the biggest Batman
yes.
fan.
Yeah. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. And like I said, with the quality of the previous movie where it was, you can't hurt it any more than it's already been harmed.
Okay, well, let's back up. I didn't think Superman... Yeah, don't break the mic. Superman was one of the worst movies ever. I thought it was a popcorn movie. I thought it was a direct reaction to the boring... and absolutely non-action-y Superman Returns from 2006, which was just not only piggybacking on the original Superman movies that Richard Donner did, it didn't even try to do anything different. And I don't think Superman threw a freaking punch in that movie. So that's why they never did a sequel to that. So they come back with a movie that is total balls to the wall action for the most part. Was there problems? Yes. The origin... let me finish. The origin... do we really need to see Superman's origin again for the 80th time? That's... everyone knows the origin. But not just that. You have like a 25-minute intro, you know, with Jor-El, right? And he's flying around in some sort of beast, you know, for 25 minutes on Krypton. It was totally unnecessary. They were just padding the movie, it seemed. I have a slight problem using the General Zod thing again, just because it's also the same summer that we also had to bring back Khan again. Yet it's like you had to go to the well on two franchises to the most, you know, the best known villain of each, you know, movie franchise. That bothered me. But it wasn't just that, though. It was the fact that the movie came off less as a Superman movie and more like Independence Day with Superman. A good chunk of the movie was like, well, we got to figure out what this alien guy is and what he's about. There was really no Superman saving people in the movie.
There was no Superman. That's my problem. He wasn't Superman. He didn't give a damn about people. Your intro segment, your problem with the intro is fair, but when I look at that movie, the only parts of that movie that were watchable to me were the intro on Krypton and the early portions where he's first landed on Earth and he's helping people. But there's no...
Before he's actually Superman.
Right. Once he puts the suit on, it all goes to shit.
Okay. So your problem was more or less that, you know, they're getting thrown through buildings left and right and putting endangering people. That was a problem a lot of people had.
He apparently didn't have the moral code that makes Superman who Superman is. Most people want to assume that my problem is...
Most people...
You've all seen this. My problem... Most people assume the problem was I didn't like the fact that he snapped Zod's neck at the end. That's fine if you give me the context for it.
That was fine. The context was fine. It was either him or the family.
Right, but never mind
the fact that he could have probably flew up with them, but whatever.
Nowhere else in the film did he go through any pains over what he had to do with people. He let the city be destroyed. He didn't give a damn. He made no effort to move the fight elsewhere. It was for spectacle, sure, on Snyder's part, but it ruined the character of Superman in the process.
Okay.
Snyder wanted action, and he wanted explosions. He got him.
Which is the only thing he's good at, by the way, directing.
He killed Superman in the process.
Snyder's good at visuals, and he's good at action, but he does not understand character arcs or subtlety, which is why, to me, he didn't ruin Watchmen, but he took excellent material in Watchmen and made it an average movie, which I don't know how you do that. But that's what Zack Snyder is, though, as a director. No one's going to go to Zack Snyder and say, hey, direct our Shakespeare play. You know, that's not going to happen. He's wham, bam, action, slow-mo, and great visuals. We all give him that. But no. So that's why I'm not in love with the character of Superman to begin with. I like Superman. Yeah, everyone loves Superman. He's the reason we have superheroes today. So I less of a problem with than you, but like I said, I'm not saying it's a great movie. I would give it like a 6 out of 10. You're giving it like a 1. You know, I'm giving it like popcorn movie. It entertained me for that 2 hours. But I see what you're saying, though.
I'll give it a 2 out of 10 for IHOP's fantastic performance.
How many times was IHOP in it? I mean, because the bully worked there, it was like 3-4 times they come back to the IHOP?
Yes. Yeah. IHOP deserves an Oscar. Everything else is awful.
There's a lot of other product placement. I don't remember. I only saw it once.
I only saw it once.
Was there 7-Eleven in there?
Many, yes. 7-Eleven was in there.
You come to Warner Bros. Yeah, we want Superman to throw Zod through our location too. Because when people think of IHOP, they want to think of good pancakes and massive destruction. That's what they want to think about.
So to bring this back onto the original topic of
Batman vs Superman.
I hope he knocks it out of the park, mainly because I really hate when the internet gets entitled and has a riot over stupid, pointless shit like this. I think he could possibly do it, but I'm just not going to watch him do it.
I tweeted out that the role of Batman, hate to say it, does not require deep acting.
Thank you.
It's a mean, brooding guy that's a psychopath.
Right.
Batman's a psychopath and a vigilante. Basically, take Charles Bronson in Death Wish. That is Batman. Just put a cowl and cape on him. That's the same guy.
You need someone who can do two very simple roles. The role of a playboy.
Yes.
That's not hard.
But even acting as a playboy, because even that's just an act that Batman's
right,
doing.
Right, yeah. But it's not hard. So yeah, you can come across as false in that role and be fine because it is false. And then you need to be able to put on a mask and a cape and punch shit. And I love Batman as much as the next person I do. I have plenty of Batman comics. He's not my favorite hero, but I'll always read him. And he's good, but he's not complicated.
No, he's not. And I remember someone tweeted, I don't know anything about Batman. I read enough Batman. I read The Death in the Family, Jason Todd gets killed. I know enough about Batman. I've seen all the Batman movies. Going back to Michael Keaton, I think if the internet existed in 88, whenever they announced that Michael Keaton was being added, I think the internet would have exploded. Because if you look at someone like Affleck, who's actually acted dramatically, in the 80s, Michael Keaton was known for comedic roles.
Beetlejuice was maybe after, but still.
No, it was before Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice was before. Mr. Mom. The movie where he was with the Dream Team, when it was him and a bunch of people from the psychiatric ward. Yeah. The movie that was actually really good about the closing of the Japanese by the U.S. auto plant. And I wish I remember. It was a really good movie. That's what he was known for. And so all of a sudden you have a guy. That'd be like casting Jim Carrey as Batman and people just going nuts over it. Before Jim Carrey was known for anybody. It was like Jim Carrey in the Ace Ventura 2 days if he was cast. But Keaton did a fine job. People don't realize, going back, this is totally off topic, that comedic acting is a lot of times just as difficult, if not more, than dramatic acting. There's a lot more involved with timing and nuance with comedy than drama is usually just reading off the page and emoting a little bit. But that's besides the point. The way I look at it is that Affleck was in Daredevil. That was 10 years ago. Has he matured? He's definitely matured as a filmmaker in 10 years. Yeah, he won a freaking, you know, Oscar, Best Picture. He's matured as an actor in 10 years. I think he realized that he's no longer just the leading man guy. I mean, that's what really done him. What did him in 10 years ago was, I'm the leading man in everything. I'm in Geely.
Right.
I'm in Daredevil. And people just stopped buying it. They stopped buying it. He had his run from the late 90s until then. They stopped buying it by the early 2000s. He was in that one movie with that one movie that really bombed. It was that futuristic movie. I forget what it was called. It was like Puzzle Pieces or something. I don't remember what it was called, but it did horribly. You know, someone chatting will know what I'm talking about. But I think he'll do fine. I don't think he'll be bad. They'll bulk him up a little bit. I mean, that's the easy thing. They get him a trainer. He'll put on 30 pounds, 20 pounds of muscle. He'll do fine. I have more problem with the movie existing.
Yes.
That's what I also tweeted. Because, I mean, it'd be like, this is the scenario. Because the Nolan trilogy doesn't count anymore. That was a standalone trilogy. That's not connected to this DC cinematic universe they're trying to create like Marvel's. So what you have now, it's as if the first movie in the Marvel movie universe was Iron Man.
Yeah.
It would be like if you went from Iron Man to the next movie being Iron Man versus Captain America.
Right.
And skipping over doing an individual Thor movie, an Incredible Hulk, Captain America, and all that. It just reeks of just desperation.
Yeah, they're going for the big money immediately when if they wanted to do it properly like Marvel did, Affleck as Batman would get his own film to build himself up as a believable Batman.
Yes.
With any luck, anyways, before they went into the Batman-Superman thing.
So you already have baggage even before the movie's going to come out from all this people saying, oh, we're not going to like him. People are going to be thinking that coming into it, like you said. Or even have him as, what if you had him show up and say, you know, they've been talking about doing a Flash movie for like 20 years. What if you had Batman show up like a little bit in the Flash movie, then a little bit and say, well, they screwed up the Green Lantern movie. I don't think that's even going to be a part of this universe. That's already just a standalone movie that was average as hell. With Ryan Reynolds, and that doesn't even count anymore. But no, they're just not even laying a groundwork. They're just going all in with it, which I think is just, I guess they don't trust the Superman franchise. I guess they don't trust it. It underperformed in the U.S. I think it did okay worldwide, but they're like, okay, screw it. We're not even going to try to build this out.
I like Superman more in theory than I do in practice, although there are some great comic arcs. But I don't mean this to be as bombastic of a statement as me saying I hated Man of Steel, but I just don't feel like Superman was ever done well in movie form.
You don't think the first one he was done in the first movie?
No, it's an enjoyable movie, but it's still it doesn't.
I think it captures the essence.
It's close. But you know, I mean, why can't? It's close, but you know, you look at it and it's fine. It's a little dated. I just don't know why they can't get. But it doesn't matter. I don't know why they can't get close to something like that again.
I was going to say, the Richard Donner movie, that to me, for a long time, I think it's still one of the top. I would put that top three superhero movies ever still, the first one. Just because, based on the fact alone, before that, you had nothing before that. And he hit it out of the park having nothing before that. Never before in a movie was a guy flying that wasn't against, not even a green screen in the 30s, 40s, or 50s, was against something being shot out of a projector, you know, with them just standing like that. Like, it was amazing, I thought, for the time.
Sure.
Christopher Reeve was as perfect as you could get.
But that, I guess that's my problem. If that's our, I mean, the first one is our benchmark. I mean, and how many Superman movies have there been since, and we've never even gotten close to that again?
Yeah. Well,
not even close.
Well, the second one is funny because the second one has them fighting in Metropolis, and Superman does try to save the people.
Yeah,
which is funny because that did hit out of the park for that. Yeah, I think Superman's hard to make interesting, just because characters that are invulnerable are less interesting because it's hard to identify with them. I think.
Well, if this is why I wanted to like Man of Steel, and this is why to me I think I get so upset with it. Mm-hmm. You can you can make a character vulnerable. You can do Superman dark and edgy without making the character dark and edgy. You can put him in a brooding, a dark universe full of danger and not compromise his morals. You can still have your blowout fights and not have him take out an entire city. You can even still have him snap the dude's neck at the end if you really want to make your Superman movie stand out from the pack. You just have to do it right. And it was just in that.
By the way, I thought Henry Cavill did a great job with what it was written for him. I think he did really good.
Well, but that's also my problem. There wasn't a whole lot written for him. I mean, without the Clark, without the Clark Superman dichotomy, you lose a lot. And I think that was part of my problem too.
Well, they're setting up for the sequel, but again, it's like, okay, they laid the groundwork. The sequel's going to deliver on that. They have him coming to the Daily Planet, but now
you've got Batman.
Now he's fighting Batman.
Right.
So half the movie's Batman.
Right.
So the movie's going to be Batman and Superman fighting for the first hour and then teaming up, just like the comic. You know, they're not going to kill each other. I know they're going to try to have some sort of Dark Knight Returns vibe going. Supposedly they're even talking to Frank Miller to help out. But you can't, in his own series, the second movie, have Superman as a quasi-bad guy as he was in the Dark Knight Returns and then have him as your second movie. That doesn't make any sense because he's the only established character in this universe. Batman, again.
Superman.
Superman's the only established character. Batman, again. The Nolan movies don't count anymore. Wipe those out. Those are like a standalone miniseries compared to what's going to be going on now. So I don't know. I think they got to be really careful because if they want to,
they've already been anything but careful.
But I mean, they're already walking this line that if they piss off one fan base or the other, they forget about their huge Avengers type, you know, biggest movie of all time, Justice League movie. That's never going to happen. I think it's going to happen anyway because they already screwed it up.
Yeah,
and which is funny because they own all the characters. Marvel doesn't even own all their characters for their movies. They don't own the X-Men characters. They don't own Fantastic Four. I think they just got the rights back to Daredevil finally. You know, so it's like Warner Brothers can do whatever the hell they want. They own DC Comics.
Right.
And they still haven't been able to do it, which is hysterical. Anyway, I think the outrage against Affleck is just if the internet didn't exist, it wouldn't be nearly as big. And again, like I said, Heath Ledger, when he was cast as a Joker, I thought he would do a good job because I knew he was a good actor.
Sure.
You know, he came back off of Brokeback Mountain.
Ten Things I Hate About You.
Ten Things
I Hate About You. I seriously love that movie.
That's not a bad, it's actually not a bad movie. No. Night's Tale isn't awful, you know.
But no. That one. that one I can take a pass on.
Well, using Queen music in medieval times is always good for a movie. But yeah, then Michael Keaton did a bang-up job at the time. Then again, probably the script was better. Than Batman Forever and the horrific Batman and Robin. And those weren't, Val Kilmer wasn't a bad Batman. It's just that what was written for them wasn't good. That's what it comes down to. You know. So, Affleck, best of luck. I don't think he was that bad as Daredevil, as an aside. I don't think Daredevil was a good movie. I always thought it was, yeah. But he didn't do a bad job as Daredevil.
I haven't liked Affleck since Kevin Smith days, and I have a tough time going back to those movies now even. But still, that doesn't change the fact, like I said earlier, I would like to see him do this very, very well, just because I think it will be funny.
Okay. There you have it. So I'm gonna go. Our next topic.
We're gonna go on with the 2DS.
You want to talk about the Wii U first? Wii U announcement, which was expected. We expected this
Wii U announcement isn't quite as big, but it's an important one, and I think it's a good one. I mean, finally, if you don't know, now you do. The Wii dropped. The Wii U is going from $350 for the deluxe package down to $300, and they're eliminating the basic package, which. Those basic packages are always advertising ploys anyways.
Yes.
They're simply a way to say, this is the base level price. It makes something seem cheaper.
Yes.
No one buys them.
No.
So they're dropping it to $300, which they did just in time, because that puts a $100 price gap between the Wii U and the PS4, and then there's a $100 price gap between the PS4 and the Xbox One. So now any of these seem... Well, the Wii U... With $50 between the Wii U and the PS4, that's more difficult for people. But $300, plus they're doing the Wind Waker HD bundle. I have to tell you, my temptation for the Wii U I thought was past, but it's back again.
You're interested in the Wind Waker HD. That's going to put it over the top. Versus getting the Nintendo Land, you'd rather get that.
It's one of the few Zelda titles I really like. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, I have no experience playing Wind Waker. I want the Nintendo Land one. So I don't just get the $300. But yeah, that's a great price point for them.
Yeah,
it's a great price point because I know there's excuses that there's still problems. Obviously, there's still problems with EA screwed them over. They're not going to be publishing for them, even though they said they would. They're not going to get GTA 5, which I thought no way in hell would Wii U not have GTA 5, since the Wii U is more powerful than the 360 and the PS3. I thought, why would not be on there? But supposedly, if the architecture programming is so different and vastly different than the other two systems, that it'd be hard to port over. I don't know about that. I can picture GTA 5 coming to the Wii U in the future. There's too much money to pass up for them to even do a sloppy port and slap it on. Everyone who owns a Wii U would buy it.
Well, I get what you're saying, but it's not too much money to pass up if the system doesn't start moving serious units.
Sure.
And I do believe EA, I think just as an aside, I believe EA double backed on that and said that they will be publishing still for the Wii U, just not in the same capacity that they had originally planned. They're not abandoning it like they did with the Dreamcast.
Well, they're not going to put out the same titles in the other systems, which destroys the point of it.
Sure.
Because my whole thought was when the Wii U was announced, I'm like, oh, this is cool, because now we can have the same third-party publishing games on all three systems because the graphic quality is going to be comparable between all three.
Right.
And trust me, the graphic quality... on these new new PS and the new Xbox, they're not going to blow the Wii U away to the extent that the 360 did versus the Wii. It's a lot closer after seeing them in person. That's a disappointment. Because I'm actually interested in GTA 5. I had GTA 4, never played it, but I thought that was cool. But GTA 5 looks pretty cool. So now I'm going to have to fork out money for a new system? No, or just wait for the PC one,
GTA 5 is on the 360 and the PS3.
That's right. So, I'm fine then.
You're okay.
Yes!
Don't worry so
much. I can buy it and not play it, just like GTA 4. The last new game I actually played and bought and then played, brand new, was L.A. Noire. That was already 3 years ago. Yeah. Wow. God, that was a fun game.
You're also one of the few people I know who liked it.
I thought it was fine. It was a cinematic experience and, it's entertaining.
Fair enough.
So will you be buying the Wii U? You're going to...
No, there are games for the Wii that I would like to play. I would really like to play Wonderful 101. I think that game looks fantastic. That Platinum did, the one where you control the massive troop of superheroes. They all have different powers. It looks incredible. And then I really loved Super Mario 3D Land for the 3DS, and the sequel, Super Mario 3D World, is coming out for the Wii U, mm-hmm. Which goes back to the Super Mario Brothers 2 times where you can play as the princess and, Luigi and these different characters. Sure. And I will play any video game that lets me play as Peach.
Okay,
I will. Super Princess Peach on the DS is one of my favorite games.
Mario's getting jealous.
That plumber doesn't stand a chance. I am interested in that. My thing is, I'm looking, and if I can find five games that I definitely must have,
okay,
then I will get a Wii U.
Five. What are we up to? We up to Wind Waker? We won.
Wind Waker? No, but see, Wind Waker is an incentive, that's, but I don't need it. Nintendo Land, I would like to, but I don't need it.
Fun.
The only two that I really need right now are Wonderful 101 and Super Mario 3D World. So,
no, you're sitting in Bayonetta at all?
No, I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine for fans, but I never played the first one. I don't beat many video games. So, I mean, sequels? Chances are I'm never going
to
get to it.
You don't want to get it just to be able to download Earthbound for $10 or whatever?
No, I don't. I like Earthbound, but I don't need to download Earthbound for $10. So, I'm happy, and I hope that this works for Nintendo, but I, unlike the 3DS price cut, which was just at the right time, which really set that system off, I feel like it might be too little too late for the Wii U. I don't know that $50 is gonna really matter, although I do feel like bundling Wind Waker with it will at least move units for the holidays.
It's a shame that it's almost the same spot where the Wii's were. It's almost like, okay, we're gonna be another system only pushing first party games. But I don't blame them. I don't blame Nintendo. Like, if EA backed out, which they seemingly did, if Rockstar isn't going to put GTA 5 on the system, there's only so much Nintendo has control over that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like they came out another system that's not HD. GTA 5 could be on the Wii U. It'd be better on the Wii U. With the gamepad is not just a gimmick, which people don't understand. I don't think Nintendo did a good job of showing how much that tablet can do. To developers, too. Because some developers, when they first announced it, developers were like, holy shit, we can do so much stuff with this. Besides just clicking on inventory and things. Like the new Splinter Cell game. Switching the weapons on the screen instantly. That's a big selling point, stuff like that.
It is.
That should be like, if I'm playing that, that's the superior version to me because of that. But they didn't push that, I don't think, enough to the public
Well, the bigger problem, and people are still talking about it, goes back to EA, E3, 2 years ago when they announced it. I have people who still come into the store.
The marketing has been
that
terrible.
Really think that it's an add-on for the Wii, and they want to know when the new Nintendo system is coming out. I actually have people who ask me this on a regular basis.
They should have. Hell, they could still do it now. If they did a whole new relaunch campaign and changed the name, they could still do it. And then the people that already have it would know. It wouldn't be too much of a mess when you think about it.
No, it wouldn't.
I'm saying that would be more a better alternative than people, a chunk of the casual public, not even knowing that it's a new system, which boggles my mind. I guess it's not, again, the casual person has no idea.
So this, I think, is a good way to lead into the next portion of the Nintendo topic, though, because it's one of my problems with the newly announced 2DS. So, you know, Nintendo announces this 2DS today, which is a 3DS with no 3D.
It's a tablet.
It's a tablet.
It doesn't fold. It's roughly the same size as the regular 3DS unfolded.
Correct. It's actually one screen underneath to cut down on costs. They just template over it.
Sure. It's going to retail for $129, which is, what, $40 less than the regular 3DS.
And, yeah. So, my thing with this is I think it looks weird. I think the button layout looks strange. It's mono sound.
Okay.
And like I said, I don't like the look. Anyways, long story short, it does not matter what it looks like. The thing could be even uglier. What they have just done is, I think it's a genius move. And this is why. You are going to have a lot of kids who want to play Pokemon when Pokemon comes out.
Sure.
And you have a lot of cash-strapped parents. And for $130 plus $40 for Pokemon, you are still under the price of a brand new 3DS XL. You can even get a case for that thing. And you don't have, I mean, the savings on this is pretty incredible. And all you're really losing that people are going to notice right away is a feature that very few people use on it, which is the 3D.
Yeah. And again, for children, the 3D fucks up their eyes anyway. I know people say you can turn off the 3D and the 3DS with parental control, but not even get an intake, because some parents won't even realize it.
Well, warnings on the package still. They don't do anything.
A lot of parents are dumb. Some parents won't even know that and still give it to their kids and screw up their eyes. It probably has happened already. This is such good timing with this, because to me, the it's not the backlash of, say, Affleck as Batman, but it's just as ridiculous the reaction to me. People getting on Nintendo over a product that does not supplant or replace their current product, but is an additional product for a market that the game that already has a 3DS, well, is not involved in. They shouldn't even care that it's coming out. To me, them trying to... I've seen some people say where it's like, well, it's the reputation of the company. It's like, they're going for a different market entirely. And so you could say disagree with that business practice, but I don't see how that is a bad move at all. Because if you didn't know this system ever came out, it's not going to affect you either way. It's not like they're going to stop selling the 3DS XL in place of the 2DS next month. It's not like they're going to come out with games just for the 2DS that won't be on the 3DS.
No, but okay, so one of the marketing guys from Nintendo even came out and said, if you're a gamer and you have it, I mean, he basically said what you said. If you are a gamer and you have a 3DS XL, this was not intended for you.
No, it's not.
They're really pushing that it's for kids, and I appreciate that. It shouldn't affect... I do have a couple of small issues with the system, but... and like I said, for kids, it's going to be great. And it's going to... From a business standpoint, it is going to sell copies of games this holiday season for Nintendo that they wouldn't have sold otherwise if they did not have an entry-level price point to get it into people's hands.
This is what I see it as. I see it as a secondary system for a household. I see it as, say, you know, you have me and you, we get to the age where we have kids, we're going to have our own 3DS and play it. But what if you have a kid and you can't afford a second one? It's cheaper, like you said, than the first one. What if you want a quote-unquote knock-around one for the home? At the same time, you give it to a kid, and that's the one they keep in their home versus the one you travel with. That, to me, is a perfect scenario.
Well, here's a cool thing, too, that my buddy Bill brought up, and I think it's very valid for gamers, you know, the hardcore kind who are arguing about this.
Yeah.
Nintendo region locked the 3DS. That sucks. Here's a cheap way to get a system import only so you can play those import games without having to buy an expensive, 3DS XL or even Japanese 3DS. You now have a cheaper option. So if there are 5-6 import games that you want to play, well, here's how you do that on a budget. Finally, you have a cheaper option. I do have two problems with it, though. And the first one is this. A buddy of mine who is a developer kind of brought this up. If this takes off, developers are going to look at the install base and go, well, then, I mean, they have sort of, in a way, admitted defeat on the 3D. Meaning you have developers who are developing games, and if this takes off and becomes a highly installed item, people aren't going to work on the 3D anymore.
Well, but are they now? How many games are on the system that are that 3D is essential? What percentage would
you say? Well, no, 0% of the games is 3D essential. There are probably about 50% of the games where the 3D is very nice. Shin Megami Tensei 4, which just came out, has excellent 3D. So his concern is, what do you develop for? Do you put money into the 3D knowing that you have this group of hardcore gamers that would like to maybe see some 3D? Or do you save that money and you just forego the 3D? Where do you put your budgeting? What do you do? You've fragmented the user base by making one that can only do 2D.
When I look at the 3DS, this is coming from someone that has a box when it hasn't opened yet. That was a good gift, by the way, from a fan. But I look at it as, if I open that thing up, the 3D to me is a bonus. That's not why I have the 3DS. That's why people don't have the 3DS to play Pokemon in 3D. They have it to play Pokemon. Right. That's the difference.
But you're missing my point. It's a bonus. It's a bonus now that developers don't know that they should concern themselves.
No, I don't think the 2DS will ever supplant the 3DS in sales. You'd be silly to think so. It might be 10% at some point or 15%. It's just to fill a hole that they think is not there right now. They can fill like you know, maybe preschools will buy them, or you know, or kindergarten will buy a couple for the classroom. Who knows? Something like that. Maybe they can use it. Learning tools, educational games, maybe will be developed. Maybe they're thinking about that. There's other ways out there. Other markets that maybe aren't being touched by Sony and not by Nintendo yet, and that's why they're doing it. So, I mean, to me, the loss of the 3D is kind of like, again, it screws up kids' eyes anyway. Will developers care that much?
It doesn't screw up kids' eyes. Doctors have even come out and said it doesn't. Nintendo's playing hyper safe.
Whatever. Well, the freaking Virtual Boy screws up my eyes. So I mean, they should have been a warning on that more than 10 minutes. Anyway. But no, I think that the reaction has been ridiculous because it doesn't affect anyone, really.
Well, my second problem. Calling it the 2DS, I'm going to have to answer a lot of freaking questions.
You're coming from the fact that you work in a game store. So
well, okay. You have to understand, if this is for kids and this is the market, it's going to confuse parents when they see 2DS next to a 3DS game. It's going to drive retailers nuts, and it's not going to make things easy for parents.
Well, the games are all going to be 3DS games, though.
Yeah, but it's identity crisis again. People don't know that the Wii U is a new system. Parents aren't going to know what a 2D to the 3DS is. I mean, it's if you think logically, 2D, 2 comes before 3, they're going to think it's a different system. They have to market this right.
It could be, but otherwise they can't have 3D in the name world because it's not 3D anymore. So what's their choice?
Just take the number out of it. I don't care. I mean,
sure. What would you say then? You call it like...
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I have
DS
no,
tablet?
That's their job, not mine. DS tablet is fine.
I think as long as they put in big balloon letters 3DS game compatible on the front, that should eliminate the problem. It should. I'm not saying it will. It should.
Yes, it should.
I know the consumer base can be dumb. I know that. You work with them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's the biggest problem as the rest. But I just think that going back to the reaction. I think the reaction is just ridiculous. When people were like, "Oh, this is a big thing," then they actually came out with a picture comparison. It's not that bigger or bigger than the regular DS unfolded. I don't see the problem.
Once I got in my head that it was about the size of a regular DS, and I really looked at it, I actually don't think it's as ugly as I initially thought it was. I think it's kind of cute. The way that it slants and the way that it looks like it's meant to be put on a table.
Sure.
That's the only thing that's weird for me, only because that would make it really great for like first generation DS titles that were largely controlled by stylus, because that would almost be relaxing to play that way. But as soon as you have to pick up, I mean, maybe we'll see more games come out like that now. Downloadable titles, app priced games that only use the touchpad. You know, because I could see that as being a comfortable way to play a game with the slight raise up. You know, that'd be kind of cool. But I also feel like it's going to be strange for certain games. Anything that uses the bottom screen as extra button space, and Pokemon games do this all the time. Your thumb is no longer within reach of the bottom screen. Your thumb is within reach of the top screen, so there's going to be a lot more reaching down to hit the bottom screen for things that used to be second nature.
Kids need the extra exercise anyway. Yeah. But they still sell the DS Lite, do they not? Is that still available new?
Probably through Amazon. I don't know if
they probably sell supply somewhere.
GameStop does.
I can't picture them not. I mean, because
I mean, not the DS Lite. They definitely don't sell the DS Lite. DSi, sure.
I mean, okay, DSi, they do. Okay,
I bet they probably still sell, but probably not for much longer. I mean, with every iteration of hardware they come out with, they remove an iteration. So with the 2DS, they will probably finally get rid of DSIs if they're still in stores.
Yeah, Nintendo always seems to go one step too far when it comes to their handhelds. And again, people are getting pissed at the 2DS. It's like, I'd be more pissed, again, if the internet was around when the Play It Loud Game Boys came out. That was, you want to talk about a cash-in, that was a cash-in. Because, you know, it's like, all right, we know this color Game Boy's on the way, but for the year and a half before, we'll just give you the same old shitty Game Boy, but we're going to put it with a green case or a black case to move more.
You're forgetting a crucial step. Not only was there gray DMGs, then Play It Loud DMGs, but then there was the pockets, which were all different colors.
Sure.
And then, I mean, in Japan, you had it even crazier. There was the light and then the Game Boy Color. So they milked the hell out of the black and white.
I just had a problem. I thought the Game Boy Pocket was great because it made it black and white.
It's a beautiful screen.
But I never liked the original Game Boy just because of the green. I was like, green. But yeah, that was the worst, the Play It Loud series. That was a cash-in. Like, that was just like, give us your money instead of coming out with the Game Boy Color. That's the way I looked at it, at least. We're going to put off for another year. But no, this is just, you can't take money from people on a product that's cheaper versus the rest that are more expensive in this case. Because people, I think, that, I mean, what's the Nintendo domination of the handheld market? 90%? It's similar to what the Nintendo was when it came out. You know, so it's like, again, this is just to get at that market or create a new market.
Well, it's also keeping them hyper-competitive with the Vita, because the Vita just received its much-needed discount. The Vita just got dropped to $199.99, which actually makes it something that people might look at now. And as a person who recently picked one up, it's a nice system. I would never suggest it over a 3DS to anyone. But it, you know, in an effort to become competitive, they did drop the price. And, I mean, Nintendo answers right back with this unit. So, you know, it's...
Well, what's the 3DS been on for 2 years now? Is it 2 years?
I don't know. I've owned the original. Yeah, it's about 2 years.
So because the 3D, the XL came out a year ago, 1 year after the 3DS. Yeah.
I think the XL came out like early this year, and then they were like a year apart. Okay. So it's about two.
So this is almost a year later to that. So next year we're going to have the 3DS XL Color will come out, or Play It Loud series a year from now, and Nintendo will just milk it every time.
I just want to quickly bring up, since we're on the topic of handhelds, and I brought up the Vita. Did you hear the rumor? And I don't think it's been squashed yet, that they are going to make a new Vita that is not a 5-inch OLED. It is a 6.3-inch OLED. Now, I just want to talk about this for a second, real quick. To anyone who thinks that you need a bigger, and no one does. I know anyone listening is smart enough to realize they don't need a bigger Vita because the Vita's huge. I have played games on the Vita with my girlfriend, comfortably sitting next to her, each of us holding on the one side of the unit with no problems whatsoever. That's how freaking big it is.
It's the Atari Lynx of the modern era.
There are certain games where they'll let you do it. Like Dive Kick just came out. Fantastic simplified two-button fighting game. And you can actually use left and down on one side and square and circle on the other.
And works.
Bonnie and I sat there comfortably playing. At no point during this gaming that we were doing did we say, holy shit, it would be awesome if this thing was bigger. That would be great.
Well, a 6.3 to 5, that's like 24% bigger, 23% bigger, doing the quick math in my head.
Plus, they're keeping the same resolution. If this is true, they're keeping the same resolution, which degrades the best feature of the Vita, which is its absolutely gorgeous screen.
I don't know. I think the problem with has always been marketing. With the Sony handhelds, the Go was an absolute abysmal failure, as you know.
Yeah, but the Go was a failure because the Go was shit.
But when you first heard, when I first heard about it, I said it was going to be shit when it was announced. And, everyone did. Was that even out for a year before they got rid of that thing? You know what I mean?
It was one of the few systems where, like, even upon launch, we were like, I don't think we're taking these into the store. Because they'll just sit there. The Vita is great if you like indie games. If you have a PS3 or you're going to get a PS4, there's no reason not to, because it lets you play so many of those games simultaneously on the go. Like, it's great for that. It's great for ports. But we're not, I mean, it's in the same position with original software that the Wii U is. There is none. It's nothing worthwhile.
Oh, poor, poor Vita.
I've got 30 pinball machines on mine. I'm happy, happy as a clam.
You squeeze them all in there, happy as a clam. You always use that expression. Are clams that happy? Really? They just get shucked. That's all that happens to clams. How happy are you when you get shucked? Oh, man. Yeah, 2DS. I don't see the big deal. It doesn't affect me at all. And now you can say, well, a lot of video game stuff doesn't affect you. But no, but this really doesn't. Because, again, this isn't like its own line. It's totally just... It's as if... What's a good analogy? I'm trying to think of a great analogy in video games. It's almost like... It's like any other Nintendo handheld. It's like, I can get the DS Fatty, the DS Lite, or the DSi. One's not really replacing the other. It's just different. All three are different. They have different features.
My final statement on it is, it's a good move by Nintendo. It's a good move for cash-strapped parents. A lot of kids will be happy that they can play Pokemon this year because their parents found a cheap way to do it. I still remain to see... I still want to see how it takes off. And I do think it could really become a nuisance to developers.
The developer thing I'm not going to talk about because that's total speculation, which could be a year or two or 3 years down the line if it ever happens. This is the other thing, though. $129, if that's the suggested retail price, let's say 6, 7, 8, 9 months from now, that they drop that puppy down to like $109, or imagine a $99 Nintendo tablet. Then talk about, not just for kids, then they would fly off the shelves. I'm not sure if Nintendo's thinking about that long term, but that'd be huge if that ever happened.
Well, at $130 right now, I think it's reasonable to assume that by next Christmas, not this Christmas, it'll be $99.
Then they're going to sell. I mean, not just sell. I mean, they'll sell to every kid at that point.
Sure.
Because that's just like, it'd be stupid not to get it. And I know, I think I saw some comments about, well, you know, the DS, you can fold up and protect the screen. It's like, before the DS, all the handhelds, you couldn't fold up and protect.
I stupidly made that argument and had a friend who had to point it out to me. And I was like, okay, you're right. I mean, I have seen what small children will do to plastic hinges.
That's more dangerous than a shatterproof glass or shatterproof plastic.
If you think about it, and I mean, all it took was my buddy being like, you're being silly about it. No, hinges are a far greater liability to a console than exposed screens.
Yes.
Plenty of kids had Game Boy Colors on the playground, and they were fine.
I find way more, at the swap meets, way more DSs with damaged hinges than Game Boys or DSs with smashed screens. You know, it's not a problem that's going to happen a lot.
Yeah.
It's just not. Or, you know, you get like a bumper on it, like you do on your iPad. You buy like a, I'm sure Nintendo put out like a $10 bumper for it. So if you drop it, it's not going to hit on the screen anyway. Or maybe it'll be built in. I don't know. Maybe they'll build in a thin one, you know, a thin little layer on the board. And that's all it'll take. Unless you're going to get a screwdriver and wedge it into the screen, it'll be fine. Kids are savvy nowadays.
But a kid who's going to do that is going to do that anyway.
Well, yeah, if a kid's going to be psychotic, it's going to be psychotic. But kids are savvy. Now kids that are 3 and 2 grow up using smartphones. It's insane. I'm officially old now. When you have kids growing up with like little smartphones and using them. So,
nothing,
I mean...
Nothing makes you feel older than working in a video game shop and having someone walk in and being like, holy shit, you've got the N64. I got that when I was in kindergarten. It's like, man, yeah, I was a fucking junior in high school, but that's cool. Anyways, what's up?
Wow, Mario Kart!
Yeah.
The first one ever! You know, you're like, yeah, God, I'm gonna die. Oh, man. So what else is going on? You think we fill an hour? We only talking for 45 minutes.
Well, that's pretty good, given that we had two topics that we decided on this afternoon that we're going to handle. It's not like we put a whole lot.
Yeah, this would be fun. We'll do this every other week. We'll try to maybe.
Yeah, we'll get fine. Three topics going now that we know maybe a shorter one. I don't know. I mean, I've been playing a lot of PC Engine. As a matter of fact, it's the only system hooked up to my TV right now besides my PlayStation 3, and that's mostly for Netflix. Been playing a lot of shooters, a lot of platformers and action games, the Valus games, and a bunch of games based on like Super Sentai, like Power Rangers stuff. That's been a lot of fun. And you just got some PC Engine games in the mail.
I did.
Yeah.
I went on a tear. A bunch of dollar games.
you went on a tear of some interesting choices. Is definitely what you did.
Hey.
The Fire Pro 3, I'm envious of. The Momotaro Densetsu, I think, the train board game that you got is always looked super fun, but neither you nor I will ever figure out how to play it.
Well, you know what next year is? Next year is the 25th anniversary of the Turbo Rev 16.
Yeah,
we can knock
that out in 12 hours.
94, plus the CD games, plus we can probably CD do. Games. It's 130, right? 130 something?
Thereabouts. And Bellas 2 and 3 are on there. I like that. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. What else?
For the U.S., yeah.
You got that Taito wrestling game, though, which I have to go because I want to read the names of the wrestlers.
Okay.
The people, because they're quite good.
So. If we're using Wirecast, I can go to commercial right now.
Yeah. Well, you can talk about your hair or whatever.
Talking about my hair. I need my hair cut. But this has been the year of kind of growing it out. I think I've only got my hair cut twice in 2013. So, which is pretty bad when I think about it, being that we're 8 months into the year. But I'll get it cut. I might be going on a trip back to Jersey next month for the first time in 2 years. That's a topic we can bring up. The Flashbacks Arcade in Seaside Park, which is gone for the most part. But yeah, I'm going back to Jersey, so I'm probably going to get cut before then. Let's see, what do you got there?
So I've never played Champion Wrestler before, but I feel like everyone would want to know that these wrestlers are in Champion Wrestler because it's going to make anyone, and I mean anyone, want to play Champion Wrestler.
Okay.
We have Matterhorn Decker. He's got a Jerry Curl mullet. We have Miracle Roston, which is a nice callback to one of their own games.
Nice.
We have Black Machine, who is wearing a tiger's mask. We have Nitro Banks.
Nitro Banks?
Nitro Banks.
That could be the coolest name ever.
I don't know. I mean, does it compete with Jimmy Carbon? Because that's pretty close. That's pretty close. We have Rocky Garner. The Samurai, which doesn't really... I mean, that's pretty basic.
Pretty self-explanatory.
But then we have what is possibly the best wrestler name. I might become a backyard wrestler just so I can steal this. We have Broody Cobra Joe.
Broody Cobra Joe.
Broody Cobra Joe.
You know what? I think if I have a kid, I'm just going to randomly go to a Japanese wrestling game and just pick a name out. Jimmy Carbon? Nitro Banks? By the way, you don't have to walk out of the room. You could have put like the CD down near you. But that's okay though.
I didn't want you to think I was stealing your
Jimmy Carbon.
Game. Yeah.
Well, we wanted to play this on Geek versus Geek, which we never wanted. We never got that going.
Yeah, we've had the first episode of that in the planning for
3 years,
4 years now.
So 3 years.
It's gonna be a hell of a show when that does come out.
I'm sure the audience would love to see us face off and play ice hockey or Jimmy Carbon versus Nitro Bass.
I don't really like being on TV.
But Roston's in it though, so I mean that's a great game. I love that.
Only if I can be Broody Cobra Joe.
Broody Cobra Joe.
I find it absurd that you had to put a camera up for a podcast.
Well, we're going to record this and we can do it. We can cut up an eclipse, put it on YouTube for that sweet, sweet ad.
So you can make your money and buy unsweetened cereal for breakfast.
Unsweetened cereal?
Yeah.
You don't think my Kashi sweetened? There's some bad stuff. I think that Kashi cereal was banned from like health stores. They figured out there was like carcinogens in it or something.
Well, those yogurt covered raisins aren't raisins. Yeah.
The things we were talking about before was the NES Marathon. Again, the fourth annual NES Marathon coming back October 18th and 19th.
Is this how we're sandwiching it with NES Marathon bread?
Yes. Okay. Like that. Last year we had a theme in terms of we had levels and goals per 1,000 to be achieved. This year we're not going to do that.
Because it was a real big pain in the ass.
Yeah, because our goal was 25. We got to 18. There was like 7 goals, including the big one at 20,000 we never got to was the world premiere of Nintendo Bohemian Rhapsody. So that was... Let's screw up there.
I imagine at 5 in the morning, keeping track of the notes of what's been played and what needs to be played, scrawled on a piece of notebook paper with pen as my eyes were crossed. I couldn't do it anymore.
So we'll come up with an idea for what we're going to do this year. Maybe we'll just have timed events at certain times. At 2 in the morning, we do a giveaway for, you know, the Friday the 13th NECA exclusive Comic-Con figure. You know, maybe at 4 a.m. we'll sing, you know, Sunday Funday. Karaoke, whatever.
I don't feel like we can base the entire marathon around timed events, but it's a really good way to keep us going.
Yes.
Because that way we know, regardless of donation level,
we will have
something to work towards.
Sure.
And I think when we structure it, we will structure it so that we, you know, make sure that there are fun things that we can keep on doing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. All right. Put something we really want to do at the end so you don't sleep again.
I didn't sleep at the end. I slept at like 3 in the morning until like 4:35.
I said sleep again.
Oh, I'm going to sleep again. That really, I was good though. I wasn't hallucinating at the end like I was the first
year. That's the fun.
It's not the fun.
Yes, it is.
You remember the second year? How at the end you were out of your fucking mind?
Yeah, I didn't have to pay a dime for those hallucinations.
You couldn't stay still.
I don't care. And you were stay still now.
I remember I was trying to tell the story about Zelda 2 at Christmas, and
that was year one.
That was year two.
That was year one.
Sure.
Yes.
It's year two.
It was year one. It was the last game we played.
Was it? Okay.
Jerky.
Oh, that's right. Okay. You were out of your mind, though, by then. But anyway.
You're always out of your mind.
The tech's better this year. We got a USB mixer. I have a better webcam. And this webcam's not bad, but it's all staccato, which I don't know if that's Ustream or not, but it'll be better. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be good times. Don't look at me. You're going to keep all your clothes on this year.
I kept them on last year. I changed out of t-shirts. You know, I didn't smell, though. I never smelled during the marathon. Maybe the first year was, but no, I was good.
First year, we were both a little ripe. It was a hot year.
It was really hot the first year in October.
Your house is...
You it's probably not hot now.
You must... Yes, it is. You must pay nothing in the winter for heat and electricity bills.
I heat the place once a week.
Yeah, the insulation here is insane. It's all the dead bodies you keep in the rafters.
It's not the insulation. There's no building next to me. The heat comes down. You know, it's just... It's the sun. The sun is hot.
The heat comes down. Are you about to cut a wrestling promo? The heat's going to come down on you, Broody Cobra Joe.
Jimmy Carbon and Nitro Banks. No one remember that. We'll have to put in Fire Pro Wrestling six-man scramble and do creator wrestler mode for those.
And just make them.
Just make Jimmy Carbon.
How about we just use those as our names on this podcast?
I'm Jimmy Carbon and Nitro Banks.
And I'm Nitro Banks.
We are the tag team champions of the podcast world. This has been fun. I'm glad we finally did this. We talked about this for like a while, and it's not too brutal. Even though you're on camera, they don't count. They don't care.
It was a fine. Yes. Because this is a podcast, and it'll be listened to by people who listen to pods in the future. It's not just the live audience.
I do not know how to distribute this as an MP3. I'll figure it out, though. It'll be I'll for download for your friends to actually download and listen to on an iPod. That's where podcasts came from. Or on YouTube. You know, just watch the video. Watch the magic between us. And we will add intros eventually. We'll use Wirecast. We'll cut to commercial if we have to. If we get a sponsor that is willing to pay us monies, we'll do a live read or two.
Magic tricks. You know
magic? I was going to talk about Seaside Park and flashback. So as we know, terrible Hurricane Sandy knocked out a chunk of the boardwalk in a lot of the shore towns last year. And reports are that if you've seen my Jersey Shore videos and the second one, Pat Returns to the Jersey Shore, which I shot in 2011 when I went back there last time, the best arcade left in Jersey was the Flashbacks Arcade in Seaside Park with the old carousel. They had one of those old light gun games probably built in the late 60s, early 70s, where you shoot the guy and he plays the piano. I don't think they had those where you grew up. But, you know, it's one of those ones that's like 50 feet long, 40 feet long.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, the two piers, Seaside Park and Seaside Heights, the piers were almost all destroyed. And where this arcade was, and this arcade had, like, all of the old games. Like, all the, like, if you name a classic arcade game that was, like, one of the popular ones, it was in this arcade. They had about 40 games.
Mappy.
They had a Mappy or two. I know they had at least one Mappy. But they also had a good pinball room with, like, 20 to 25 pinball machines. Newer ones and older ones going back to the 70s.
Was that the place that had Hercules?
It had Hercules, which I'll tell you about. I know Hercules isn't the best game, but where are you
going to... That's amusing.
Where are you going to find one? Yeah. How many exist? Like, 50? I mean, how many can possibly exist?
Too many, but yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So the bad news is that the building reports were that the building was destroyed up, including where that arcade would have been. Not where the carousel was, but up right there. The carousel is basically right there next to the light gun games, and then the arcade's behind it. So I'm hoping in my heart of hearts, I'm actually called a place because it's bothering me. Was that I'm hoping with the warning they had a good 3-4 day warning that was coming, that they would have at least moved some of those machines out. The ones that they couldn't replace, even if they were gone, some of the Hercules pinball, move them out before it hit. Because it's a real shame if those just fell into the fucking Atlantic Ocean or destroyed. Again, it's the only good like Point Pleasant was mostly untouched. There's decent arcades, but this was the best arcade. Right. We're not talking arcade like the rest of Seaside Heights where you'd walk in and just see, you know, four DDR games, all light gun games and racing games and redemption games. This actually had arcade games, classic ones, and pinball games. It was the only one left in the boardwalk that had that. So again, real shame that at least that's gone. I heard that like they had to tear down the building anyway. It was not completely destroyed, but up to that point, it was damaged. They had to basically get rid of it. So, plus the carousel was old. The carousel was probably 70, 60 years old. You know, so
unfit for human riders.
The good news is that the other old carousel in Seaside Heights, that was on the other side of the boardwalk. So basically, the boardwalk was fine up until, you know, the street side. The beach side, if anything there, was probably damaged, you know, so. Anyway, that's a sad note. Don't want to end on that note, but it's a very sad note. I'm all broken up inside. But, yeah. Anything else going on?
Yeah. Stuff.
Stuff. You're gonna go home, play some pinball on your Vita.
I'm gonna go home, play pinball. Yeah, things.
Things?
Things, yeah.
Maybe we'll come back 2 Wednesdays from now and do this again?
We'll do it soon.
Wednesday's a good day, because I don't have anything on Wednesday. I don't have yoga on Wednesday.
Mm.
You don't have anything on Wednesday.
Yeah, Tuesdays or Wednesdays would generally be. No, Tuesdays. Yeah, Wednesdays is generally pretty good. So we will shoot for this 2 Wednesdays.
Woo!
All right.
And we filled about an hour. So I'm proud with our little prep and our nice mixer, which worked out great.
You're always proud.
Thank you, X12OB USB from Behringer. Not Behringer Bears. No, it's
That's Berenstain.
Berenstain. I used to have those as a kid.
Christ.
Read along books. No?
Great books.
All right, and that does it for the first completely unnecessary podcast.
Boy, was it.
Ian and Pat, we are signing off. Thanks a lot. We'll be back in a few weeks for topics with movies and games and Big Marios and swap meet finds and stories from the game store, who knows, and more updates with thepunkeffect.com, Luna Video Games. We're signing off. Bye. Good night.
Toodles.